is food for thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's food for thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can also stream us live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com. It is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And Steve Friedman is in the house, Manchester Food Co-op. Excuse me.
Eventually, New Hampshire.
Eventually, yes.
We hope.
And I'm anxious because, you know, with summer and schedules, I haven't spoken with you in a while. So I'm dying to get an update on the Manchester Food Co-op. What is happening?
Would you like it now?
Yeah, we may as well, because we're going to, Linda, today, just to let listeners know, we won't be hearing from Donna today.
Oh,
which is really sad. I know.
That's very sad. Is Donna okay? Or is she on vacation?
Donna is fine. She texted me this morning and said she wouldn't be able to call in today. So in place of Donna calling in, we're going to speak with Linda Ditch over in Kansas,
the food vlogger.
So we'll chat with her in a little bit. So, in the meantime, I'm dying to hear an update.
I love your eagerness to learn more about your co-op. So your Manchester Food Co-op, we're continuing in our member our capital campaign, which is where we're trying to raise $1.5 million, which is what every co-op in America, in the world, does. After you get to a certain amount of membership, ownership shares, you go out and say, okay, we need to now open the store, we have a site, et cetera, and we need about, I think it's about a $3.2 million project, but $1.5 million we're trying to raise first. Then the balance of that, we go to traditional lending. So we're in, I think, like our sixth week of our capital campaign. We've got close to $300,000 received, another about $250,000 committed, which we're working through the paperwork to get to that. So we're doing great with that. And our ratio of calls out to money in is right on par with what co-ops expect. We just rallied up a couple weeks ago from AG, who is sort of handing us the reins to the store. They gave us, I think it was about 12 volunteers to make more calls. So we're ramping up our calls, and that's becoming more effective to get more money in. So that's the nuts and bolts of it. Our manager, Patrick, is continuing to work with local vendors to set up merchants who are going to be on the shelves. We have a couple more. We had a few more sort of social events to talk about financing. And we continue to just work and get the word out to people to buy into it as an owner for $100 at manchesterfood.coop. You can't loan us money or buy shares unless you are an owner. So we're encouraging more and more people to become owners. And then we are pretty much on track for being open by the end of the year. I keep pegging Thanksgiving time, but we'll see how quickly we can wrap up our finance campaign.
Good.
And I continue to go on TV. I'll be on Cook's Corner on Channel 9 at 12:20 this Saturday. I'll tell you what I'm cooking tomorrow because I'm going to the farmer's market tonight to grab what's fresh and local. And that's how I like to cook for Cook's Corner, to show you this just came out of New Hampshire soils yesterday, and here's what to do with it.
Which food market?
Manchester.
Oh, Manchester's right here. Okay, good.
Which I keep forgetting to go. It just started, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I have it on my calendar to go there today because I have to go on TV tomorrow. So I got to have food to cook.
And you won't know until you get to the
That's
food.
The way I roll with when I go on Cook's Corner. I try and focus on what is fresh and local in New Hampshire, because a lot of people belong to the CSAs where you get a box of produce once a week. And they're like, what do I do with 6 pounds of Italian eggplant? And I say, give it to your neighbor. That's the one food I don't know what to do with because I don't like it. I'm trying to eat it more often and get to like it, so I continue to try it, but it's nothing I would ever buy at home.
You know, it's funny because I used to feel that way about eggplant. And you know what made me change my mind was across the street at what's the Italian place across the street?
Piccola.
Yeah. Piccola.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has an appetizer. It's eggplant rollatini. Go and get that.
Okay. I used to make that when I was a chef. That I will eat, but that could be cotton rag rollatini. Because when you fry it and stuff it with ricotta and tomatoes and spinach, everything's delicious.
Right.
But I'm not saying his dish isn't good, but the rollatini I used to make in a restaurant, it is great. You thin slice the eggplant, you fry it, bread it and fry it, then the stuffing, it's absolutely delicious.
Now, the thing, And over there, they peel it. They peel the eggplant. Like, I don't like places.
Because it's bitter.
Where they put this, they leave the skin on. Yep. So if ever I go now, because I got it one time and it had the skin on it, and woof, it gives it a totally different.
And that bitterness is what us Westerners don't like in our diet, which is why we love white bread and Doritos and things like that. And those food, even though there's a lot of talk about genetically modifying, early peaches, you know, when the settlers came over, et cetera, grapes, watermelon, was not sweet like it is now. And that's part of our health problem in this country is we don't like bitter foods, but the bitter foods are fighting for your health. So try to get a little more bitter in your diet, not in your personality, just your diet.
Well, give us some examples. What else?
You put me on the spot. All the sour citrus fruits, like grapes. Like I've been buying organic grapes lately, right? And I've been eating conventional grapes most of my life. Conventional grapes are like little sugar bombs. They're really sweet and juicy. Organic grapes, which are less, you know, engineered, if you will, they're a little more bitter. They have a tartness to them.
Okay.
Cabbage, sauerkraut, those are bitter foods. Oh, you put me on the spot.
I did.
Cherries, sour cherries are bitter.
And when I get them, they're always sweet because I'm not buying them fresh and local, probably.
Cherries, you won't get a lot of local cherries. Very few varieties can make it. And in New Hampshire, I think they're like late August before this cherries will blossom, if you will.
We talked about a tip last week for eating frozen grapes. Freezing them and just eating them like a dessert or something, mm-hmm. and then also putting them in your beverages and wine.
To keep it cold.
And, yeah,
great
instead
idea.
Of ice, because yep. water ice waters it down. So,
I was joking around yesterday. You know, you see those shirts. I do eat my fruits. Wine, Chardonnay is a fruit. It's made from grapes. Well, I think ice cream is a animal protein, a meat, because it comes from cows. So it's close enough.
You're stretching it there.
Well,
Steve.
Any reason to get ice cream in your diet in the summer?
Absolutely.
You gotta figure out a way.
Have you guys found any good watermelon lately? Because I don't watermelon or cantaloupe. I have not found any good of that. I haven't liked it.
I had a watermelon from wherever it was a few weeks ago. I was like, this isn't bad. So that gets back to eating in season. Right. Watermelon and cantaloupe in particular, those are things we used to eat, you know, 6 weeks during the summer when we were kids, right? Because that's all that was available. Now it's available year-round, but it's not in season. So wait for the local watermelon, which is probably coming up in a couple weeks into August when the watermelon and melons will start appearing at the farm stands. That's where you'll get the watermelon you crave from your childhood.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So
because you're right.
Yet.
Most watermelon is like it tastes like a fibrous water product. Yeah, it doesn't have that beautiful flavor.
Yeah.
Yep. I did see a recipe. I should have clipped it. You peel the skin off the watermelon rind and you pickle it. And the reviews said it was an absolutely, instead of throwing it away.
Watermelon rinds.
Watermelon rind,
You know what you do with watermelon rinds? Wrap them in bacon and put them under the broiler. Delicious.
And eat them?
And
no
eat
kidding.
Them. They are so
It is
good.
Edible. It's just not, it's bitter.
It's bitter.
It's bitter.
I was just
going
to say that, yeah. But I actually saw a watermelon tip recently for cutting it instead of, you know, trying to peel it and then slice it all up. It's kind of the way I cut an avocado,
Wait. Did you just say peel it?
Well, you know, some people eat it. Some people will, if you just want like cubes of it, you know, you cut it all out and then you slice it all up,
like
right?
Yeah, like I would, I cut it in half and cut off all the rind.
Yes, you cut off the rind. So it's peeling it essentially. Well, keeping it in a large chunk and slicing it into cubes while it's still on the rind.
Yeah.
And then just grabbing the rind and kind of flipping it. And all the little pieces pop off.
All little cubes.
Yeah.
That is one fantastic thing about Facebook is all these food tips. You've been doing it wrong your whole life. And they've showed watermelon how you cut it in half and you just like put your knife through it, cut a bunch of scores to cut cubes, and then dump it into a bowl and be done with it.
That was the tip I just saw recently.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about Facebook, I love Facebook. I love the interaction between people. I mean, family that's like down south, you see pictures of everybody. And you know what? I like the food things, the Tasty. Have you seen Tasty get put up a lot with all those recipes? They are so cool. You haven't?
What is Tasty?
Tasty. It's
A website?
I don't know. Or, it's some company out there. But
yeah.
That's where they show you the video with the text in
and
front of it.
And it's all fast. And it's like, you know, it's so cool. And they have really cool recipes on that.
And another great thing about Facebook is I post, when I like it, I post it to myself. And then it's always on my page when I think about going back to find that recipe.
You share it with it.
So we were talking about cherries as well. I saw a tip for pitting cherries quickly. I mean, I usually just pop them in my mouth and spit the seed out. But if you wanted to do a bunch at a time, place it on top of a like a Coke bottle or some type of bottle with a small opening where the cherry's not going to fall in. And then take a firm straw or a chopstick and just poke it right through.
And that would be to, like if you want to make it to serve a bowl at a party, so
and you have to pit it
all
exactly.
over your house.
Yes,
that's how I've learned. In order, you know, I think a lot of us are trying to eat less and get healthier and stuff. So I prefer pistachios as my go-to nut because it's a lot more work to get to the meat.
True.
Take your time, you know, and put the nut in your mouth, split it in half, sort of thing. Spit out the. Same thing with cherries, though. Cherries I like, and cherries is the number one gout fighter. So they're high, number one on my diet, especially when they're fresh cherries. But I like that, especially when I'm driving, because I'll eat one, spit it out the window, and it's convenient. And that's not
literate. That's what keeps hitting my windshield.
Make sure
you're
not
following me?
Not behind. Oh, sorry. I was supposed to let you know that. I did leave out a part of it, though. You put the stem in upside down, and then the pit
stem.
And the stem all just go into the glass jar, and then it's easy to clean up, too.
Cool.
Just toss them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
And on that notion, if it's a rainy day or something, I hopefully have a plastic bottle in my car. That's where I spit out the pistachio shell. Any fruit that I eat that has a disposable, carry a bottle or even an empty water bottle, and put your waste into it. Yeah.
But the pits you throw out the window, you spit out the window.
Most of the time, yeah.
Well, the birds would eat it, right? Yeah.
Well,
that sounds
bad for birds.
Under federal law, it's not litter when it's decomposing.
That's
naturally.
What I thought. Oh, yeah. So the person that I saw throw a banana peel out the window recently that really made me angry, that's actually okay.
Well, I don't want to encourage it per se, but it is decomposable, so it'll be gone in a month or two from wildlife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
And if you do, you try and throw it into a wooded area, not your neighbor's beautiful lawn. And
I was just
going to
say, not someone's yard.
Yeah.
Actually, can I gripe for a minute talking about throwing things into people's lawns?
Okay, 1 minute.
It's only going to take me 15 seconds. Okay. If I could tell you how many cigarette butts I pick up out of my yard.
Gross.
On a daily basis. Well, not daily, but like all year long, especially at the beginning of the year when it's like all been in the snow and everything and. You know, beginning of spring.
So people just driving by?
Just drive by, throw their cigarette butts. I feel like I want to put up a giant sign that says, please don't throw your cigarette butts. But as soon as I do that, then they're going to triple.
Yeah.
You know, people
are
just going to be angry. And
are you
they...
sure it's not your sons sneaking around the house?
100%. It's up by the curb.
Do you live on a busier road?
By? Yeah, Goffstown Back Road.
Okay.
It's like fairly
so
busy.
So here's what happens. I have a house on Califf Road, and I actually just met with my landscaper yesterday. I wanted to build a landscape berm because I have a flat yard. And just the wind that traffic brings, my yard every day looks like a McDonald's parking lot.
Ugh.
And it's not because people are littering at my house. It's because
the wind
of traffic, and that's where the grass catches it. So that's what happens at your house, too. The traffic just sort of leaves it there. But you're also on a busy road.
Yeah, but they're just tossing them out the window.
Yeah.
Please,
smokers,
people, that is littering. Please
that is littering.
Do not throw your cigarette butts out the window.
Even if you buy your cigarettes local or organic, the filters are not
littering.
Decomposable.
Right. Exactly.
Dispose of them properly.
Please stop throwing them in my yard.
It's our planet. We all need to take care of it.
We have Linda on right now, but remind me about what Daryl has been throwing in the neighbor's yard.
Uh-oh.
Remind me of that later.
Okay.
It's quite interesting. But yes, like we said, Donna from Delaware is not able to call in, so we are going to be speaking with Linda today. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Very good. Haven't spoken with you in a while.
I burst out laughing with the organic local cigarettes. That's pretty good. That was good. You know, I mean, I know this has nothing to do with food, but I can understand the aggravation with the cigarette butts in the yard because when I lived in New Hampshire, when I was living in Hillsboro, on the street behind my house, the neighbor's garage and part of their house got damaged from a fire because somebody threw a cigarette butt out.
Actually, that happened to me. My right by my mailbox, the grass caught on fire one year. I had to run out and put it out. I've totally forgot about that.
Well, wow. This was put out on a road behind that other house and a couple of roads over, and it just caught fire, came up a hillside and just caught their whole garage and everything on fire. It was pretty
Jeepers.
Scary.
So besides just being annoying and rude, it's extremely dangerous.
Exactly. Don't. I mean, you know, just think this. I knew people that smoked, and, you know, you put it out and stick it in a container or something. You know, just hang on to it and don't throw it out the car window. It's just ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, it is. So anyway, what have you been cooking, Linda?
Well, I just, on the blog yesterday, I put up a new recipe for white chocolate chip lime cookies.
Ooh. Did you say white chocolate chip?
White chocolate chip, yeah.
Lime?
We're both like, lime? White? That sounds so different.
Yeah, it does. So do tell.
Just think of it as a white chocolate chip cookie with lots of lime flavor in it, too. So it's this time of year in the summer, I always think of lime, probably because limeade used to be my thing when I was a kid growing up. My mom would take us to this drugstore that still made old school limeade, you know, crushing the lime juice and adding a little simple syrup to make it sweet and then putting in soda water usually so it had bubbles, but sometimes just, you know, water like you would a lemonade and having limeade. And the flavor of lime is so much more mellow than lemon. And don't get me wrong, I love lemon, but limes are just such a more mellow flavor. And I happen to have some limes and I have some white chocolate chips, and I thought, I wonder how these would work in a cookie.
I would never think never, to ever. Do that.
That sounds so cool.
So you mean, wait a minute now. So you mean you just like off the cuff decided with those two ingredients just to whip up some cookies?
What I did, I had a few years ago, I came up with a recipe for lemon doodles, which are like snickerdoodles, but they're made with lemon. And so I kind of took that basic lemon doodle recipe and butched with it a little. And, but yeah, basically I had white chocolate chips, I had lime, I knew I needed to make lemon doodles, so I basically made lime doodles with white chocolate chips instead of dipped in powdered sugar, so.
Wow, okay.
And I actually came up with them about a couple of months ago for Mother's Day. My family was doing a Mexican meal for my mom. And I said I'd bring dessert, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking lime, and I'm thinking, margarita cake or whatever. And I thought, well, let's do something simple because it had to travel a distance. So cookies travel. Cookies are great for picnics. Cookies are great to take to the beach. Cookies are all those good things. So let's make some lime flavored cookies, and that's what kind of got me started. So.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Very cool.
But, I love lime in the summertime, though. So, there's a key lime pie recipe I posted a couple of months ago that would work really well, too, for a summertime dessert. Add a little tartness. And
that's my son's favorite thing. He absolutely loves key lime pie. I'm so surprised.
I was in Key West, and a man down there that owns a shop that, and he sells key lime juice and everything, let me use his recipe for key lime pie. And it's really, really easy and really, really good. So.
Cool. And, I'm not a lime person. I'm more of a lemon person versus lime.
Well, I would say whenever you said limeades, I grew up in Oklahoma, and it was one of my favorite things to do is go to Sonic and get a cherry limeade. Absolutely loved that. It's probably not as good as the made from scratch ones that you were having, but anytime I go to Oklahoma to visit now, I have to get a cherry limeade.
That's funny.
You don't find limeade like you used to. I mean, I know Newman's Own, and I don't know if they still do because I can't get it here. But back in New Hampshire, I would always, in the summertime, Newman's Own had their lemonade and pink lemonade. Well, lots of times they'd have limeade. And their limeade is pretty good, too. And then but Sonic, they make their limeade by adding it like Sprite or some kind of lemon-lime soda. And they just add lime to it, where to me, a natural limeade is made more like a lemonade, but maybe with club soda to give it bubbles instead of, an already sweetened soda pop. So.
Right.
But I go through Sonic here because we have Sonic here in Sika, and I'll go through and get a limeade once in a while here, too. So just have to have one.
You have to send me one.
So, Linda, can you remind listeners where they can find your blog so that they can follow you?
Sure. It's thereandbackagainfood.com. And you can also find me on, I have a Facebook page under There and Back Again Food. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Linda A. Ditch. You can follow me there. So.
Perfect. All right. Do you have anything else to share?
I was just, I was listening to you earlier about, did he say that your farmer's market just opened like a few weeks ago?
Yes. Like 2 or 3 okay. weeks ago, right, Steve?
Yep.
Yeah, because ours opened in April.
Oh, so, yeah,
it's
okay.
It's been around a while. And, I mean, it was interesting listening to you, because I totally believe in buying local, buying what's in season, all of that. I mean, it just tastes better. So yeah. I know it's more convenient to pick it up while you're at the grocery store, but it's worth it taking that trip to a farmer's market or a farm stand, because it just tastes better. It's coming right out of the ground, and it's not just across the country, and the food just tastes great. But, you know, we've been having tomatoes and watermelon and all that stuff for a little bit now. And it's interesting to be reminded that back there, you guys are just getting started with all of that.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
Yeah.
And it'll be over soon.
Exactly.
And it's not only not that it's worth it, your body is worth it and requires it and deserves it. Take care of it.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It is healthier for you as well.
Yeah, where I live in Topeka, I've mentioned this before, I live in an apartment downtown. I don't have any outdoor space, and all my windows face north, so I can't grow anything inside. So I always head to the farmer's market. But in New Hampshire, in Hillsboro, I had a great garden in my backyard. I grew asparagus, tomatoes, you know, lettuces, sugar snap peas, all of that, and had my herb pot with my herbs growing in it, and I missed that this time of year.
Yeah.
But I remember you couldn't put the tomatoes out in the ground until it did, because it wasn't warm enough yet. So,
cool.
I remember those days. I missed that.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, okay, Linda, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your stories with us. I always love talking to you. Haven't talked to you for a while. Have a great rest of the summer.
Oh, you too. I was good to talk to you guys again, too.
Yes. All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Bye-bye.
Bye, Linda.
Bye.
So thereandbackagainfood.com. You can follow her. You can also find her on Facebook. And you are listening to Food for Thought on The Pulse. We are going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Thought with Carol and Tracy. Steve Freeman's in the house as well, Manchester Food Co-op. We just spoke with Linda Ditch over in Kansas. You can check out her blog, thereandbackagainfood.com. She has a great blog, and it's all her travels, and she tells stories. It's really good. So anyway, yes, I was just talking with them at the break. I've been doing some needle felting.
Those are so cute.
Aren't they
the little
cool?
things that you made.
You know, my mother-in-law was here and my sister-in-law were here a couple weeks ago, and we all sat at the table and did some worms. Worms is like a real pretty simple project, but it's so fun. When you start putting like the eyes on, it brings them like to life. It's like, oh my gosh. And that guy that I did, I put teeth on him.
And a wart.
And a wart on his nose. And then my sister-in-law, she lives in New York. I was showing her pictures as I was doing it. She's like, oh my gosh, you got to put hair sticking out of the wart.
that's something new I haven't heard of before.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very fun. So anyway,
Have you found any wonderful new places to eat at?
You know, no. And, you know, I've been actually cooking quite a bit lately.
That's good, too.
I've been cooking. I did a fabulous pea soup the other day. It was so good. And you know what I use for some of the broth? Like, when I make my pea soup, I don't use water. I use chicken broth instead of water. But we've been smoking a lot on our new smoker. And over the weekend, last weekend, we smoked some ribs. Mm-hmm. So the juju from the ribs, you know, it was nice and rich and,
sure
you know,
is.
Oh my gosh. So I'm like, we can't throw that out. I'm going to save that.
Yeah.
So I saved it and I added that into my pea soup. I'm telling you, it made all the difference in the world. It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. Wow. And then we did, you know what I made? I made, Shelley Wolcott's, shrimp burgers. Oh, very good.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. What is that one?
1 pound of raw shrimp, yep, chopped up. You can pulse it in a food processor, mm-hmm, if you want. Half a cup of panko breadcrumbs, 1 egg, and 2.5 tablespoons of her Healthy Solution spice blends.
And then you make it into a patty?
And then you put it into a patty. I did have to add more panko crumbs to it because it was a little loose. And then I put them in a frying pan with a little bit of olive oil and, you know, flip them on each side.
So kind of like a crab cake more than a hamburger.
Yeah. And okay. I made them like slider roll size, mm-hmm, you know, and my mom and one of her friends came over for dinner and I got like little slider buns. You know, so, and you know, it's like a perfect
oh,
size.
Gosh, you know, my kids are going to love that. They like it with those little, what are they called? They're slider size rolls, but they're like sweet.
Hawaiian.
Hawaiian, that's it. The Hawaiian rolls. They eat those things like they're candy, which I think is crazy.
They are like candy.
I don't
candy.
Get it. But we make little sliders with it, but how good would that be? Yeah.
So good, and it's very easy. Very easy.
On Tasty, something on Facebook yesterday, you take the whole package of those Hawaiian rolls, cut them in half as wholesale, one whole thing, put the bottom in the pan, put your sliders on, put your filling, whether it's chicken or burgers or shrimp, then put the top on, butter it, or salt and pepper it, and bake it all in the oven, then you cut it into sliders. Uh-huh. And I was like, that's a party snack right there.
That's cool.
So you don't make a bunch of sliders, you make a sheet of sliders.
Right.
And you just cut
them in half.
Yes.
That's cool. Mm. All right, you are listening to The Pulse. We are at the top of the hour. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Gabby's Smokehouse.
Anthony Martino.
There we go. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.